This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit's work, guide it into all truth. A little while, ask in my name, and the beginning of Jesus' prayer of consecration. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
That is why I'm also calling upon members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies.
The sex revolution's been irrational from the beginning, and the evidence against it is piling up. And so there's more and more stuff that they have to just obliterate or wipe out or cover up.
God is speaking to every one of us, but he's not speaking to you in your heart. He's not speaking to you in the winds or the rocks or the trees or through somebody who claims to be a prophet. He's speaking to you in the Word of God.
Do this means do this. It's not that tough. Here's some bread. Eat it. It's me. Here's some wine. Eat it. It's me.
Students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, love listening to Issues Etc. and doing our catechism recitations on our drives to and from our fieldwork congregations every week.
Pastors visit their people. It's kind of what they do. They're out and about among their people when they're not in their study and not in their pulpit, not behind or in front of the Lord's table. They're out among their people. But is it just one among many things that a pastor does? Is it kind of a feature of the pastoral ministry, but just one among many features? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about pastoral visitation, beginning a conversation with Dr. Tyler Arnold. A little bit later, Mark Hemingway, senior writer for Real Clear Investigations, joins us. He wants to respond to a recent Atlantic column on the media and disinformation. Then our series, Introducing the Books of the Bible, continues. We'll be in Colossians with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're going to begin a conversation on pastoral visitation. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest. He's pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and he's author of a column for the Seelsorger Journal titled Pastoral Visitation, Reflections on Paul's Work and Wisdom for the Church Today. Dr. Arnold, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
How does visitation define what a pastor does?
It mostly defines exactly who he is. We can even go back, do some exegesis in the Old Testament and specifically in the New Testament and see how a visitor acts and who he is by definition. There's this Old Testament word, pakad, that we see in the scriptures, and it means literally to take an interest in a person. And this is specifically seen in the Psalms, Psalm 65 in particular, that God shows this divine care for his creation, these first article gifts that are given to us. But then also it's exemplified again many different times. Well, for example, like in Genesis chapter 21, God visiting Sarah, that his promise is given to her through a son, that it might be fulfilled. There's a promise for Sarah and first article gifts as well, but then also, of course, for all of us, the second article gifts of Jesus coming to be that fulfillment for us. And then tied into the New Testament, there is this word that is very familiar to many of us. We see it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, episkopos, and we oftentimes translate this word to mean overseer or bishop or supervisor or something to that effect. But that word really is indicative of the verb form of that, which is episkopeo. And episkopeo literally means to visit. So sometimes we think that one of the pastor's jobs is to go out and to do visitation. But it's not only a function of the pastoral office. What's so important to this is that it's also indicative of its essence. It's not something external to the office. It's a part of who the pastor is. It defines the office. In essence, the office of pastor is the office of visitor. So it's extremely important for us to know that because, well, quite frankly, we have a God who visits his people, and he visits his people through the word and the sacrament that is oftentimes brought by the pastor himself.
Describe the place of visitation in Jesus' own ministry.
Well, we see this come out quite clearly in the Gospels whenever Jesus finds himself at the home of Levi, like in Luke chapter 5, or the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2, or the home of the Pharisee in Luke 7 and 14. There's many different circumstances where we find Jesus in the homes of those that he loves. Yes, of course, there are times where people are being brought to Jesus, but we also have to know that Jesus is in the field. He's in the field whenever these things are happening. So God is literally entering into the presence of his people. This is our incarnational theology. It's the function of the office of pastor that rests solely, really, on the essence of who Jesus is. He is essentially the one visiting his people. And so when we hear, like Zechariah calling out about the incarnation and the Benedictus, God is the one who visits and redeems his people. Boy, those two things seem to go well together, and they are not to be separated. Whenever God is visiting, he is coming for the sake of the people to redeem them. So whenever Jesus visits, he's bringing something. He's bringing himself. He is bringing the gift of life and salvation to a people who sorely need it.
You quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer saying, "Every unsuccessful pastoral visit is a difficult judgment against us because it will display our lack of spiritual experience and power." Explain that.
I think as pastors, we oftentimes want to quantify or qualify our visitation. And oftentimes we do this on a human level. We have in mind on about how this should go and what the result is because, well, let's face it, we live in a very results-driven society. And oftentimes with failures that come in visitations, we think that this is a judgment upon our skill or our ability. And it's not. We know that God is using the pastor to share his word in the circumstances that God has put him in. And we know that whenever the word is sown, that it will not return to the good Lord empty, that it will do its work. Now, again, it's hard to quantify that. And we sometimes think that whenever we don't see the results, there's going to be something wrong. But God is using it for the good and glory of his kingdom. And we should keep that in mind as our primary focus.
What is the central purpose of every pastoral visit?
The central purpose of every pastoral visit is to simply bring Jesus. First and foremost, it's going to share what Jesus has gifted us with. This is extremely important whenever we keep in mind of why we're doing what we're doing. But we also keep in mind the very fact that the Christian faith is predicated upon relationships. Again, the incarnation is a relationship that we have with God, that God is showing us that he loves us so much that he gives his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this relationship is extremely important to Christ, as it is the fact that whenever he's using his servants, pastors, to share the word of God to others, then the central part should be to bring Jesus. Now, there's also going to be opportunities in pastoral visitation for encouragement or even reproach whenever there might be something wrong that the pastor needs to address. But again, that comes through relationships. And getting to the heart of the matter really only comes through those means. We can't really write emails about it. We can't just merely talk to others about it and get secondhand information. We have to go to the heart of the matter. And that's central to visitation, the conversation that hits at the heart of the matter, that brings the word of the law when that is necessary, to bring the gifts of the gospel in extraordinary ways when that's necessary as well. Bottom line, it's really bringing what is ordinary that we normally have around the altar and pulpit on Sunday morning into these extraordinary situations. And that's vital when it comes to giving what Christ gives in pastoral visitation.
What's the role of listening in pastoral visitation?
Pastors know the narrative of Christ, and they seek to discover the narratives of those that they visit. To connect the two narratives, those that pastors visit, those that we're given to care for in the midst of the congregation, and the narrative of Christ is extremely important, especially in times of distress or sufferings. What better way to connect a person to Jesus than to listen to their story and know how that connects with the narrative of Christ on the cross for them? So, first and foremost, listening is going to help the pastor to understand the story of the one that has something to say, that has something to tell, to get to know their life in order to share the Word of God in its appropriate place.
We're talking about pastoral visitation with Dr. Tyler Arnold. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about an incident or two from Paul's ministry that inform us and grant us some wisdom on the subject. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for February. It's titled Without Flesh. What does the church have to offer the world in this present darkness? Find out in Without Flesh. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for February, Without Flesh, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit's work, guide it into all truth. A little while, ask in my name, and the beginning of Jesus' prayer of consecration. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about pastoral visitation. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. One of the things that pastors bring when they visit their parishioners, either in the hospital or in the home, is the Lord's Supper. They are bringing that very Christ they have come to proclaim in his body and blood for the forgiveness of that parishioner's sins. And that's the subject of the Issues Etc. book of the month for February, Without Flesh, by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can find out more about Without Flesh at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Without Flesh by Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Take us into an incident or two from Paul's ministry on visitation, beginning with Acts chapter 15. Tell us about it.
At the end of Acts 15, that's right at the end of the part in Acts 15 where Paul says to Barnabas after the Jerusalem council, let us return and visit the brothers and see how they're doing or how they have it or how they are. And this is important because this is a visitation that comes after they've already visited before. And if you remember, one of the times that Paul had already visited was whenever he was nearly stoned to death outside of Lystra. And he wants to go back there, which is amazing. I mean, that takes a tremendous amount of courage. But he's really not thinking about himself. He's thinking about the church. He's thinking about how those individuals in the church are doing. He's particularly caring about the way that they have the word, if they have the word and right teaching. Because as Dr. A.L. Berry used to say years ago, and this sentiment has echoed throughout the years around the Senate, is that we need to get the message straight and then get the message out. So Paul was very concerned about how they had the message, but he was also very concerned about how the people were doing with the message. Returning and going back shows an extremely high level of care for the individual ministry, for the people, the churches that make up that congregation. It's important. Again, the ordinary things that God's people are revolving around, the word and the sacraments, are brought into these extraordinary situations where now the rubber hits the road, so to speak. It's being proclaimed into their individual lives. We want to make sure you're doing well. We want to make sure that the Word of God is being shared correctly. So all of these things tie together, I think, in the way that Paul says to Barnabas that we need to go back and check in with the brothers because we care about them, we love them, we are concerned about them.
You say a pastor cannot learn how to visit in the classroom or from the study of books. Why not?
It's really an experiential thing. This is one of those things where practice makes perfect, and pastoral visitation will always be imperfect as long as we're on this side of eternity. A man by the name of Oswald Chambers, he wrote a book called Workmen of God, The Cure of Souls, many decades ago, and he tells this interesting story. He says an old sea captain whom he knew very well, who had been a fisherman all of his days, told me that a man had published a book on how to catch fish. And the captain took him out into his boat, and they stayed out for hours, but he didn't have enough strength to put one piece of line over the boat. He was too sick. That was the instructor on how to catch fish. You really got to get your sea legs whenever you practice visitation. And you only can learn, really, by doing. There's all sorts of, I guess you could say, theories or encouragements about how to do the practice of visitation. But because it's so individualistic, and we're going to be meeting the needs of the people on their level, and each of those needs are different in one way or another, you really can't prepare for that. You have to experience it. You have to be in the trenches with the people of God. And that takes time, and that takes a lot of practice.
Why should a new pastor make visitation one of his very first duties?
Simply put, the pastor cannot effectively minister in unfamiliar territory. We're not peddlers of the word. We're not doing this for money. We're simply wanting and desiring to bring the good gifts of Jesus Christ to the hearts of those that we serve. So in order to understand them better, in order to connect their narratives to the narrative of Christ in order to bring them the good word, whether that be a word of law, of gospel, a word of admonishment or encouragement. We have to make it our duty to make sure to know our people, to be where they are at. One of the things that I've noticed about visitation is that whenever I have the opportunity to be at the kitchen table of one of my members or in the living room of one of my members, you're on their territory. It gives them opportunity to feel as if this is the place where I am the most comfortable. And then that gives the pastor the opportunity to listen. So in order to effectively minister to the people that we have been given to minister to, we better go and hear them, listen to them, share with them, learn about their story so that we can know better how to come alongside of them in their times of distress and in their moments of joy.
What would you say to a pastor who thinks, look, this is just overwhelming, maybe the congregation is large, or maybe they feel like they lack the, what do they call them, people skills or something like that? And he says, where do I start? How can I possibly visit everyone in my congregation?
Yeah, there's many encumbrances to visitation. And everybody thinks that pastors are extroverts, that they love to talk to people and to be in big crowds and all of those kinds of different things. And it's really not true. There are many pastors who are introverted who actually are very uncomfortable in one-on-one situations. And besides all that, it's time-consuming. It may be one of our most dreaded tasks. We know that we're going to be on the road for a while. We're going to have to forego study for Bible study or our sermon coming up because it's just going to take that much time. And it's a challenge for us. I think what I would do, whenever people ask me that question, new pastors, where do I start? Tell them to visit the leadership of the congregation. Maybe start with the elders, the people that you know best. Get to know them. Get to know their story. Hear their concerns, their cares. And then kind of branch out from there. Maybe the church council. Maybe then you can start visiting the people that you know a little bit better in the congregation, the more active members. And then from there, you can start branching out to the people that maybe you don't know quite as well. It gives you a little practice. It gives you an understanding of the culture of the church, especially if you're new to the congregation, the culture of, well, your surrounding community as well. You get a handle on things and maybe a little bit more of a comfortable way if you start with people that you know. So that's where I would start. And again, everything takes practice. So you begin there and then you work your way out.
You say that there are four things you always desire to accomplish when you're visiting in someone's home or a hospital room. What are those four things?
So I think the first thing that you do when you come into a visitation situation, whether it be at a home or a hospital, make it clear what the purpose is. If somebody's in the hospital, perhaps that goes without saying because, well, you're there to minister to the sick. But if you're visiting the home, the family may not know why you're there, especially if you just say, hey, may I come by and just take a few minutes to visit? They may think, oh, well, okay, why is he coming? Is he coming to chastise us for something that we did wrong? Or is he coming just for sort of a social conversation? Make it clear what the purpose is. And then the second part is we're just going to want to listen. We're going to want to ask questions, again, to get to know the narrative. Try to get to the heart of anything that might be particularly troublesome for the person that you're visiting. Again, the couch or the kitchen table is that sacred space of a person. So that's going to be the place where they're going to be most comfortable to say whatever it is that is on their heart. This gives us an opportunity to listen, to ask, to understand their narrative. And then all of these things will help us to inform our prayer. Pray with them. Continue to keep them in your prayers as well. And then fourth, I try to leave a home with a blessing. Blessings reveal what is hidden to the troubled soul. So blessings reveal Christ. And it's a gospel enactment. So we put Christ upon a person. We talk about blessing people or homes. I remember one story Dr. Jeff Pulse at the Fort Wayne Seminary was telling me whenever he invited Dr. John Kleinick into his home. The first thing that he did whenever he came into the home is he blessed the house and he blessed Dr. Pulse and his family. And that was the first act, which actually made Dr. Pulse question what Dr. Kleinick saw that he wasn't aware of, that he needed to be blessed right away whenever he entered the house. But I think this is pretty interesting. This is even necessary. Something that we would want to do is to share God's blessing upon the people, upon the house, before we leave, at least at that point. So those four things, make it clear what the purpose is, listen, ask questions that are going to clarify anything that is needful from the person that we're visiting, pray with them, and then bless them. And of course, I don't mention anything about bringing Holy Communion, which oftentimes is what pastors do whenever they do visit. They bring the very body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to be doing that a lot of the times when we make these hospital visits and these home visitations, especially with shut-ins. But maybe this is a situation that I'm referring to that may not include the sacrament of Holy Communion. This might be just an opportunity to visit, to get to know, to pray, and to bless. So there's different kinds of ways that we can visit and different reasons why we visit. And this one might be one that doesn't include Holy Communion.
Pastor Tyler Arnold is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. He's author of a column for the Seelsorger Journal titled Pastoral Visitation, Reflections on Paul's Work and Wisdom for the Church Today. He'll be back tomorrow for part two on pastoral visitation. We'll begin our conversation discussing the role of visitation during the 16th century Reformation. On our return, Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigations will join us. We're going to talk about a recent Atlantic column on the media and disinformation. He says, well, it is an age of disinformation coming from both sides. What should the media be doing about it? We'll be right back.
My plan is to talk about understanding the Ten Commandments through the lens of the passive and the active obedience of Christ.
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
So one of the things I like to do when I teach my confirmation classes, both my youth confirmation and adult confirmation class, is to talk a lot about how it is that Christ fulfills all of these commandments for us and understanding what it means to keep these commandments through the lens of the way that Christ kept them for us from both the perspective of his active obedience, so his active keeping of the law, as well as his passive obedience, which is obeying the will of his Father and going to the cross.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.